my guiding principle is the strategy. A strategy gives an organization direction, what is super important, and a good strategy also have components what we are not doing. Be honest, be connected, and speed up.
Hello, dear listener. Welcome to the Lightwolf podcast. Great you're back here on the show. Today, we are going to talk about a question that concerns and interests many leaders. How do you successfully lead companies into the future without losing their identity? My guest today knows both worlds. Global blue chip companies such as Procter & Gamble, Gillette, Vela, and Unilever, and traditional family businesses like Kühne and Faber-Castell. A very warm welcome to the Lightwolf podcast, dear Stefan Leitz.
Hi, Stefan Hofmeister.
Great you're here. Stefan, you have built an impressively successful career across two at least somewhat different business worlds, large corporates and family businesses. You are a transformer of businesses and cultures. I've seen it on several occasions very closely, and you have real impact. You have more than 22 years of experience, leadership experience in large corporates such as P&G, Gillette, Vela, Unilever. You're also in supervisory boards now, in advisory roles and supervisory boards. And then you entered a slightly different world and you added so far 14 years of leadership experience as a CEO in family businesses, specifically Kühne and Faber-Castell. I would like to explore these experiences with you today, but let's start with a personal question. Stefan, do you remember who you were as a teenager?
Nobody asked me this question since a long time. Well, a teenager, we're going back to the 70s or 80s, early 80s, and talking the age of around 15 till 18, I would call. I think I was a little bit late starter. I was totally energized about my motorcycle. So every year I got a bigger one and a faster one. Speed was wonderful for me. And I was a kind of, not sure if the international community know this kind in Germany, there was a trend called popper. We had a special haircut. Yeah, we had special clothes. And it was, today I think it was ugly, but I had this style for a year and 1.5 or so. And then I changed. I was more on the rebellion side. And when in Frankfurt Airport, the new base has been founded, there were big demonstrations. And I was on the street demonstrating against deforestation and building this new runway for the airport. I think then finally I found my way in a balance, but it was worse to try out both dimensions.
Yeah, amazing to see it, to understand these very interesting parts of your youth. It shows your willingness to take a position, also your readiness to learn and adapt when you have a good reason to change your position. You were a teenager. That's amazing. It nicely leads into the topic of leadership, which this podcast is mainly about. And I'd like to understand, when did you personally experience in your career the difference between good and poor leadership?
So basically, as a new starter into a job, you have plenty of occasions where you can experience basically daily from your direct leader or 2, 3, 5 levels above. Luckily, I spent 11 years at Procter, and luckily I had a big number of great leaders around me and great bosses, and hardly remember one or two where I said, wow, this is a strange behavior. I do not want to display once I am in a chance to lead people. And the so-called bad leadership had the components of being not really listening to the local management, to the team, or to the expert, to be disconnected from reality, partly from competition, from customers, and not differentiate enough that there are some things which are global and some elements are local or regional. So this was in the time when we have introduced the new way, 1996 at Procter & Gamble in the German retail industry, which was one of the theoretically best thought through elements I've ever seen in my career. It was so strong. At the same time, there was one missing element, remaining competitive and execution. And asking the question, what will this lead at our customer space? Yeah. And this was one element I remember. But I'm grateful and so happy that I enjoyed so many leaders which helped me to develop myself to the person I am now.
Yeah. And out of this moment, because we were both together in the same company, I was involved in this initiative in a different way than you. I smelled trouble. If you were to experience this new way again, would you cancel it altogether or would you do it, but in a different way?
I wouldn't cancel it. I would definitely do it in a different way. One of the differences is a better preparation to the external stakeholders and customers. Another thing is I would face certain elements. It was too much in a too short timing, unprepared.
Yeah.
The fundamentals have been brilliant. The execution and the deployment of the plan and the preparation should have been improved.
Fully agree. Now, a little inspired by this, but much more inspired by your career, Stefan. You've done it in so many different contexts, in so many different companies and countries. And you're running a big, sizable global business now. If you had to describe good leadership in one sentence, not from textbook, but from your own practical experience, how would you describe leadership?
If I would phrase, which I learned from my father as a little boy, he said, treat people like you want to be treated yourself. And this is not from a textbook, and this is not from any university. I think this is a lesson of life, and I think it's so true. Of course, people want to be treated differently because people are different and individuals. At the same time, if you combine this with a solid foundation of the textbook, what we learned in our career and all the education, what is good leadership all about? It brings you to a couple of elements, and one of the elements which I interpreted together with was, I call it the 3C, which is a guiding principle for me, which says clarity, communication, and consequences. And this is all about leadership, to get and provide clarity of the company's objectives, the strategies, what is needed to reach the objectives, how, which is a strategy, communicate this properly, as well as expectation management, clarity, what do I expect from which team, from which brand, category, country, function, leaders. Communicate it clearly in digestible words, management language for managers, but easy to understand and digest language to the rest of the companies, because everyone, every nationality, every cultural and educational background has to understand clarity of direction of the company, to understand what is my role to play, where I can add value and contribute. And then the last C is consequence, execute with consequence. And I learned that some years ago, I underestimated the communication. It is not just one or two times, and it's a nonverbal communication. It's not only email, it's not only what we write, it's not only what we say, it's like we behave. This had the bigger impact constantly, and this creates trust and reliability. And what I experience in a lot of companies, including some of the big corporations where I was working, is the consequence. And consequence, interesting-wise, in Europe, mainly in Europe, but maybe globally, consequences that a lot of persons have a negative impact. You think, am I get fired or is I not happy? But it has two sides. 50% consequence is positive.
Oh, yeah.
Because I get a bigger job, I get a promotion, I get recognition, I get a bigger project. This is consequence as well. This is what we have to balance. But what I experience that a lot of leaders have almost fear to pull the plug and provide the consequence if they are negative. Specifically, I experienced some leaders in big corporations where they said, okay, in half a year, I get a new job anyway. My successor should solve the issue here.
Yeah, yeah. Let's park the issue and pass it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. On that note, Stefan, very good description and simply memorizable. Yeah. Clarity, communication, and consequence or consistency. One of the elements in there is a topic that I know is a passion topic for you. You've practiced it ever since I met you, which is more than 3 decades ago. It's the topic of feedback, offering praise and offering constructive criticism. And while both have the same intent, both, when done well, intend to help another person, I observe differences in them. Praise is easier to give and easier to receive because it's more of the same. You've done something well, so all you need to do is repeat the same. While when we criticize someone's behavior, it's a little bit more challenging because you need to change something. But I know that you're deeply convinced that this respect that your father shared with you, treat others the way you want to be treated. By the way, this is the reason why I'm in the supervisory board of Reboot the Future, an organization founded by Kim Polman, which is all about spreading more respect in the world in the spirit of your father and the conviction he shared with you. Do you see a difference around the world? Right now, as a Faber-Castell CEO, you're responsible for dozens of countries. Do you see a difference in the world in the attitude to honesty and the attitude to consistency and consequence?
Yeah, there are common ground and rules, and there are also massive differences across regions or even countries. At the same time, if you peel the onion deeper, you see this even within Germany, for instance, different personalities, how they scope with this. And I think if I look at my experience back, there is the concept of feedback. It is appropriate around the world. The difference is the pace, the sequence, the audience, and the way you provide it. This is slightly different. What I mean by that is, people globally feel easier, much easier to provide positive feedback. Hey, Stefan, you have done a great job. That's easy. But does this add value? The value is if I said, Stefan, you have done a great job. And what I liked specifically in your presentation was A, B, and C. Okay. And what I also experienced that leaders avoid and try to escape from critical feedback. But this is even more value adding than the positive one. The positive motivates, it's easy. But the true value is I, as a leader, take my time to rethink how can I make you a better leader or a better person or colleague, and sometimes even a better boss to me. And this takes courage. This because there is some risk that, you don't like me anymore because I was criticizing you. And with all respect, our objective as leaders is not to be everybody's darling and liked by everybody. This is not our job. Our job is to develop companies and business and transform companies. And part of this is critical feedback. But this is the biggest chance. And coming back to my 3C, this is a consequence. So what I experienced that in one of the big corporates I joined, I realized that some of my members of the leadership team, they were not scoping with the job to be done and the responsibility because the environment and expectations developed faster than they did.
Yeah.
And I provided honest feedback. And they were very frustrated in the short term and disappointed in the short term. And as a consequence, they decided to leave the company to other smaller companies, and they had great jobs and a great career there. And in one of the other companies, I learned something from a board colleague who was a silver medal winner in a team sport. And he quoted his experience. I asked him, tell me how it is to be a team player and a silver medal winner. I never met one before and after.
In Olympics, right?
In Olympics, yes, at Olympics mm-hmm. and Summer Olympics and in hockey, German hockey. And he said, listen, the most impressive moment was in the final when the coach approached me in a very critical way. I mean, I could not understand why, because I said, hey, coach, I was doing well. Why are you criticizing me? And the coach said, guess what? The moment I don't criticize you anymore, you know, and you don't have any added value and you're not worth it for me. This is hard, but it tells you the real benefit. And leaders should remember their responsibility. And if you receive feedback, you should appreciate that the person took the time to provide you feedback. They should appreciate critical feedback even more than the positive one.
Yeah, awesome. Now, you have a couple of things that are very special, Stefan, particular to you. And one of them is in the title of this podcast. It's this, at least assumed, difference between the big corporates like Procter & Gamble, Unilever, Vella, Gillette, where you've been a leader, and on the other hand, family-owned businesses like Kühne and Faber-Castell. Based on your long experience, what can those two kinds of companies learn from each other?
Well, first of all, I'm very, very thankful and grateful that I had a chance to experience both kind of worlds, so big corporations, multinationals, and great run family business. And there is no better or worse. It's just different. And one thing I think what corporates could rethink and learn, if you want to say it this way, from family-owned mid-sized companies, is one is having a stronger focus on development of people's skills and empathy and creativity.
Yeah.
Why? Because in the big corporates, with all respect, and it's not blaming, I'm thankful for what I enjoyed there and learned there. With all respect, the system covers certain things. And as an individual, you have an impact, but if you move to the next job, someone else will do the job. And you have to learn more the empathy, which is getting more and more important, and creativity in times of fast-changing external environment, what's going on, starting with COVID and Russian war and the U.S. tariffs, the Liberation Day, and all these kind of things. You have to be more creative, and this is what you need in parallel to a system. The second thing, I think it would be worthwhile to build careers and development of people in corporates, although remaining them longer on their current responsibility. Sometimes job rotation is too fast. You should run against your own cycle and your own records. Success from today is a challenge of tomorrow, and you should deliver that it's a sustainable thing. And thirdly, what I miss sometimes in corporates, and I think this is different in a lot of family-owned mid-sized business, what I missed was personal accountability. If something did not work, don't hide behind system and teams and be personally accountable as a leader. Now, on the other hand, family from corporates, one of the things is what I really try to bring in, and this sounds weird on the first place, as family businesses, we're thinking in generations, which is great. And I'm not saying go to quarterly reports, no. But what I'm saying is there is no long-term without a short-term. And find the right balance To have a generation in business, you have to deliver short term. You have to deliver this fiscal year. And if your first quarter is behind expectations, the second is planned anyway with lead times you have. So speed up. And if you miss a fiscal year, which happens, but work hard on the learnings and correct the course, and then you recover in the second. And this mentality and sense of urgency would help in some family business. Another thing which is I experience, which is a big opportunity to learn and implement on an appropriate way to the size of the company, is people development. So that means a real feedback culture in a structured way. For instance, we at Faber-Castell, we introduced a few years ago when I arrived, 360-degree feedback, which was totally new. We have an annual structured feedback approach. We have a nine-field performance metrics. We have identified talents, which are the talent and then talent management. And we have to keep on a structured job rotation. This is all people development programs. When I joined, one of my set of questions was, what does good leadership mean at Faber-Castell? And I asked 20 leaders around the world, and I got different answers. So provide clarity, communication, consequences. We divided the quality. What do we want to have as good leadership globally? Then we communicated, and the consequence was we initiated a global six-month leadership journey around the world with global leaders across countries and functions. So people development is the big thing where mid-sized companies can improve the focus appropriate to their situation.
Great. And that's brilliant and sharp and specific naming of the learning that can go in both ways. I've never heard it that clearly. Thank you for sharing this, Stefan. Now, you alluded to one point, which I think in terms of scarcity of resources is balancing. When you and I, way back then in the early 90s, started working for our first employer, I remember my first budget meeting. In that first budget meeting, I was asked to sit in the corner and shut up and basically listen. Pampers Europe. It was a great learning experience. All day, great business decisions. We talked a lot about the resource called money. And money matters. I'm not naive. But we didn't talk at all about the resource called time. Now, I love this life like you. And I appealed to God twice by thinking, may God please double the day to 48 hours. But I didn't even get a response. there is no way around it, Stefan. On the one hand side, I think there is ever more opportunities, ever more information. But it meets the same limitation. There is 24 hours of time. Now, you will have that challenge at times as well. You're running 6,000 people around the globe. Many people want your time. Many things compete for your time. How do you decide what you invest time into and what not?
Well, that's a very difficult task to do. And I have to admit, this is not one of my core strengths to setting the right priorities. One thing which is standing in the way to me is I have a big passion for what I'm doing, and I don't count hours or whatever. And having a global responsibility in our company, someone is awake and online all the time. So late evening, it's Latin America, and early morning, Asian people send some emails or whatever, or you have an early morning call. Now, what my guiding principle is the strategy. A strategy gives an organization direction, what is super important. And strategy, a good strategy, also have components what we are not doing. It's not only what to do, but also what not to do. And this should be the North Star, the general direction. So what is off strategy does not deserve a lot of time. At the same time, I dedicate a lot of time in feedback, and feedback is not always the formal one. It is spontaneous feedback because I it's my passion and I'm convinced that this drives organization, and you have to walk the talk. And at the same time, I asked myself, what does the most impact have on this meeting to drive the business results? Because it is about outcome, and business is tough, and competition is tough. But at the same time, you have to make choices. And one of the things which I realized, I just came from the OMR festival in Hamburg here this week. Yep. And I had a pleasure to listen to a couple of people. And one who really made an impact was, guess what, Heidi Klum, 52 mm-hmm. or whatever, and Tom Brady, which was phenomenal and mind-blowing. Yeah, and both were asked what made you as successful as you. And both said, listen, there are more beautiful ladies than I was and am, said Heidi, which, by the way, she was our testimonial when I was at Gillette and Brown. And I had spent a day with her in 2006 in Hamburg. So I reminded this one. And Tom also said, I started late my career playing football. But both said it's about discipline. And I leave the job when the job is done. Now I ask myself, this is my attitude as well. It is a question of that we are a different generation. I mean, they are 20 years younger or 10 years younger, but at the same time, having work-life balance. Maybe it is a generational topic, but find your sweet spot and find your hunger of success, whatever it is, and then you dedicate enough time and don't watch at it. But again, I try to work hard to improve this. More focus.
Thank you for the transparency and vulnerability. It is a tough challenge for many CEOs that I personally work with, for many people I work with. Thank you for sharing this. Now, I think it's obvious through our three decades as colleagues and as friends, and it's also obvious throughout this conversation today, Stefan, how consciously you develop yourself. So how do you develop yourself?
Well, I think I'm very much grounded. I think I know what I learned and my skills and my strengths, and also know that the impact we can have and should have on organizations. And I also know where I need help and support. So it's about reflection, self-reflection. And this is more important than ever as things are changing so fast. If I would lead like I lead teams 20 years ago, I would lead myself and nobody else. I think people would run away. So you have to adjust as well. Where do I get inspirations? One of the things is I hear when I'm commuting and spending a lot of time in cars and planes, I listen a lot of podcasts. This gives me inspirations. At the same time, I selectively go to conferences like the OMR this week or from some consultants. But at the other side, I also get inspiration from Gen Z. So I try to spend as much as possible time with the people around the 30s joining the companies or in our company, as well as with my kids and their friends, because they educate me. I learn a lot of things from them and get a lot of inspiration and food for thought.
Awesome. Thank you. Towards the closing of this conversation, our five quick questions section, Stefan. Quick questions asking for a quick answer. What's the best advice you ever received?
Tough, the best. What came spontaneously related to business in my mind is what former P&G and then Unilever colleague advised me when I got offered a job as a managing director in a different country, and my kids were a teenager. And I would have loved to do the job. I would have loved to take it. It would have been a next career step. And then my teenage daughter, mainly at this time, she really indicated that she does not want to leave her home. And I was struggling with the decision, and I was made a decision against the career for my family. And I advised this friend, and he said, listen, Stefan, there are many great companies, but for you, there is just one great family, and take care of your family. And this was the best advice, and I'm thankful to Gerhard still today.
Wow. What a great piece of advice. I currently get goosebumps all over my body.
Yeah, me as well, remembering the discussions. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Stefan, what is your go-to stress tool when things get stressful?
Well, luckily, from nature, I can full on and full off relatively easily. I did not work on this. This happened. I sleep very well and all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. What helps me is spending quality time with the family whenever mm-hmm. possible. Being in Mother Nature, if it's gardening, if it's just walking at the shores of the River Elbe, where I'm living in Hamburg, or as well having a weekend trip somewhere else, or spending times with friends, this is where I re-energize as well.
Great. Is there a quote, book, or podcast that inspired you recently?
Well, have you heard about this podcast called Lightwolf? Yeah. I'm listening this frequently. I'm listening other Lightwolf, other podcasts as well, like OMR and kind of this, everything related somewhere to leadership and strategy. I just started a book, which I found in India in a bookshop, which is called Super Fast, Lead at Speed. It's from Sophie Devonshire. And it inspired me because speed is the new currency. I love speed. I experienced that majority of organization and managers in our company have difficulties to cope with the changing speed in business. So I hope that I get some new insights and tips from these books. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading a book, very easy to read. I got it at Christmas from my assistant Steffi, Hoffnungslos Optimistic, so hopelessly optimistic, which is a different mindset that you focus on things which work. Everybody complains about the German railway company, always too late. Yeah. 60% on time. Yeah, let's talk about the 60% on the good things. And I like this very much.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Stefan, as we are closing this, there are thousands of people here on the call listening to you now. If you could leave them with a key message, what would it be?
More honesty in business, more honesty and more speed in business. Competition doesn't leave us time for any games, internal, functional, department games, internal politics, or behave yourself as the biggest, knowing everything. This is outdated. Be honest, be connected, and speed up.
Brilliant. Dear Stefan, this was so insightful. I've learned a ton. It was exciting. It was truly deeply interesting to listen to your path, to listen to your story. And it's been deeply insightful for everyone who is here on the call. So thank you very, very much for your time, for being our guest today, dear Stefan Leitz.
Thank you very much, Stefan, for having the dialogue and the occasion. I appreciate it.
See you very soon. Thank you, Stefan.